Chapter 87. The ship was on the Caribbean Sea, and the night was soft. They had called it a day after walking out on a mildly entertaining, but mostly lame, after-dinner show. They excused themselves from Judge Andrews and his wife Edith, with whom they had had dinner, and decided that they were going to the same show. They went to their favorite bar, got drinks, and carried them back to their room. They were engulfed in the pace and the atmosphere that the experience provided for now. They were happy, returning consumers in the eyes of the cruise line, and they had taken the opportunity to provide them with a complimentary fruit basket. This was itself a bit gratuitous, as fruit was free all over the ship. They laughed about the ridiculous gesture and then ignored it. They settled out on the balcony. Celeste was amazed that she could do this at all. She had always suffered from motion sickness, so the scopolamine patch in back of her ear made all the difference. Celeste put out her painted toes and took a long swallow of a delightfully flavored seltzer. She had watched the barman spray it from his gun into pieces of fruit that had been split open. The patch did make her thirsty. "I don't think I could live like this," said Celeste. "You are living like this," said Ron. He lit a cigarette and stared out over the dark water and the slightly less dark sky and the occasional little white fluffs of waves that appeared and were gone as the ship cruised. He felt happily lost in the night at sea. Anything might happen, and mostly it was all good. It was truly the appearance of a world with magic. They booked their first cruise after a miserable week at the Jersey Shore. The next year, Angel, Celeste, and Ron had set out from New York City on a week-long cruise to and from Bermuda. It was a 45-year-old ship that was coming to the end of its pleasure sailing days, but this was an easy and profitable run. Celeste had done it before, but she knew it would be magical for Angel and Ron, and it was. She remembered his face having breakfast at sea that first morning. He was as happy as she had ever seen him. It was a way to ignite his spirit of adventure. It would never be flying. It would always be the sea. She thought back and closed her eyes and dreamt for a moment about how Angel made a friend of the captain's daughter and how they had laughed and decorated a wooden deck horse that they bought and entered into the sweepstakes. Celeste said, "We named it Philly Stakes All because it was a female wooden horse, and Angel had learned that the name for a female horse was a filly." "Yeah," said Ron. "That was the first cruise. I think this is the 14th or 15th. "I want more," said Celeste. Ron grinned. "Me too." Celeste asked, "Now that this tenure thing is over, will things calm down?" "It'll be different," said Ron. "The job is secure. They pay me incredibly well." Celeste waited. He hadn't really put it into words yet, but she knew it was there. "I sense a but," she ventured. "I don't think I'll ever love it or really trust anyone there. Some of the work is really interesting, but I don't do any of it anymore. This is creating things that other people do. It's strange. I don't feel I'm as good at it as when I was doing it," said Ron. There it was again. It had been gnawing at him for 5 years. "You still miss teaching," said Celeste. Ron looked out at the ocean, up at the sky that was now twinkling with the small flashes of stars, and then brought his eyes to her face. "Teaching was like this, all the time."